Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers. Shut up! Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders. Shut up! Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome, welcome to the Transit Workers Support Show. This is Brother Eric. That was a spoken word example of satire and reality inspired by the great punk rock poet Jello Biafra's Shut Up, Be Happy. Well, let's get going. We have our first
guest, and it looks like we got two people on hold, so just hang on. Let's see if I can get this right. And I'm going to press the right button, right? Here we go. And let's see. It looks like 6240 is the last four. Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, can you hear me? This is Eric Slater.
Eric. Oh, it's Eric Slater. Welcome, welcome. Let's see who else we got. And who is this? Who's here? 9503.
Hey, this is Renato.
Renato, Eric, we got a bus operator, a train operator. Eric, you must be on lunch. It's so great to have you. How are you, brother?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for that. I love the intro. Good old punk rock, British punk rock, and others.
How you holding up there on the bus side, sir?
Yeah, we are doing pretty well. The rear door boarding is I think it's making it a bit easier for the bus operator, but I am very concerned about the passengers. A lot of passengers I normally would have had on my bus are kind of stuck at home. And they're kind of screwed, especially elderly people. We have a lot of poor elderly people, people with disabilities, that things are much more difficult for them right now. So, you know, we're hanging in the best we can. We're fighting, like your intro discussed, to try to get mass meetings of our coworkers over the phone and the internet. There's no reason for us not to continue to have our internal democracy of our union, to have discussions, debates, and potentially have mass actions to protect our members and our families, our communities, and the passengers. So I really agree with that.
Are you? Thank you, brother. Are you boarding people with disabilities at the front? Are you able to do that?
So what they're instructing us to do, there's a little confusion about the written documents versus what instruction and management and the union officials are telling us what to do. But generally speaking, they're saying anyone who wants to be in the get through the front can do so. But people are encouraged to go through the back. So if someone, you know, older person needs to kneel the bus and having trouble opening the back door, you know, we're being encouraged to let them in. So that means, you know, we put the bus in park, we make sure it's safe, open up the the sign, the little string that's blocking the front, and allow them to enter, and then put it back and go through. So, you know, of course, that defeats the purpose a little bit of the social distancing, but I think a lot of passengers don't really have a choice, especially persons with a wheelchair.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Renato, how have things been going with you? I know you are off at this time, but what have you been going through on your end?
Honestly, for me, it's just been mostly trying to make sure I don't catch it. I'm working on getting back to work on the 1st of May, so just kind of getting ready for that and making sure I'm properly equipped, because obviously we might be suffering from proper equipment right now, but I just gotta make sure that I'm looking out for myself. So, you know, I make sure I have enough disinfectant wipes and sprays and proper fitting mask. I don't think the ones we're getting currently are the best fitted for people's faces, so I had to go out on and get my own mask. So I just make sure I protect myself as best I can, so when I do go back, if I inevitably have to, I'm ready for it. So that's about all I've really been able to do. As far as pay and everything, it seems to be in order. I don't know about these coming weeks, but I guess I'll have to wait and see. Unfortunately, the communication between that is minimal, and rules and regulations are constantly changing, so it's kind of been frustrating.
Yes, 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 absolutely. I am somewhat breaking through on the I thought I was gonna go without coughing today. somewhat breaking through on the red tape by doing mental organization by taking a piece of paper and writing down all the tasks I have to do and put them in squares and different shapes and trying to draw lines to them and you know, try to deal with the overwhelming responsibilities that have been heaped upon us as workers. Hey, Eric, if you're still on the line, what do you think of that how we, you know, for reasonable accommodation, for sick leave, for any kind of leave, this process, is there a way for it to be much more efficient that we as union workers might be able to push for?
Yeah, Eric, you were asking me to talk about that?
Yeah.
Two things. So Transit Workers Unite, and which is a group of transit workers that are trying to unite the different unions and to take mass action, and that we've been doing that for several years. You can find us on Facebook, and also a group 308 for Justice Coalition, doing some of the same work in HC Local 308, kind of put out a call. And one of the demands that we discussed and debated and voted on was, and we put out, combined program on this, was basically that the Chicago Transit Authority and PACE and other transit agencies around the country, North America even, can simply allow every worker to go home immediately. There's this in Chicago, they're being promised $800 million in federal funding in addition to what they normally get for CTA and another $100 million for PACE Suburban. And that's more than enough to send everybody home right away, pay full pay, all the frontline workers for whatever reason, even if they're just even if we're undergoing severe psychological difficulties and we just don't want to be out there. We have to be with our family members, et cetera. Not necessarily if you're sick, not necessarily if you have a underlying condition, but just because we don't need everyone out there. So, and then for people who are, who volunteer to go back to work, they should be paid a premium. And that's pretty simple. So everybody's paid no matter what. And you just deal with the medical situations based upon the medical merit. You deal with the necessity of transit based upon its real material necessity, such as getting medical workers to hospitals, getting elderly people and others and people who may be sick to those hospitals through public transit because they don't have any other choice, and other necessary things. And workers can organize that. Now, absent that, the transit authorities can simply just put ask for medical professionals to be on property. You know, we have, my bus garage is about 600, 700 workers. They could easily have someone come in, at least on the morning shift, take some temperatures of people, make sure no one's got a fever, make sure that anyone who wants to have the test done can have it done. And then all the paperwork gets resolved. I think that's something you've been putting forward, Eric, and I think that's really right. Tons of paperwork problems. People are afraid they're not going to get paid. They're afraid, workers are afraid they'll get disciplined or even fired. And there's no reason for that. The problem with discouraging workers from being home is that's making the crisis worse. That's more of the passengers are getting it from transit workers are getting it from passengers, and coworkers are giving it to each other. And then what's really not being discussed enough is we're bringing it back home to our families, to our communities. And it's a really transmission belt, public transportation, and it continues to do so even with some of the measures slowly and halfway taken by the transit agencies at this point. So I hope that helped explain some of it.
Yeah, thank you, man. You know, it's funny you said that. We're getting some calls coming in. This is really exciting because Renato and I were talking about earlier that we're going to have to come up with some papers. Nobody calls in, but everybody's calling in. Regarding the paperwork, I'm looking at 12 pages of notes of every phone, every email I have. Plus, I have files on my computer of documents, sick leave, my COVID positive test results, everything. And I'm not complaining about it, but what I'm saying is, it has been extremely stressful to deal with this, and this is not good. It's not good when you're stressed out and you're sick at the same time. So let's get we have someone with the phone number ending in 6257. I'm gonna put you on the air. 6257, please. Welcome.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Eric. It's Kathy, and I was listening from the beginning, and I wondered, because I'm not seeing a whole lot on Facebook lately from a variety of people. I haven't been seeing a whole lot of stuff about, what are the workers thinking? I'm retired, but so what are people thinking now and feeling working through the epidemic or the pandemic and not getting the hazard pay, and where would that money come from anyway, and the contract and the masks and the wipes and just everything. What are people saying? Is most of the conversation at work, I wonder, is it mostly about what's happening and the stress, or is it kind of like how it used to be about you know, work and joking around and different stuff. Do y'all know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's changing so much, too, because there's certain pressures coming on us. So, for example, when we talk about, saying, okay, the rules be safe, then if we're not safe, we cannot work at that place where it's unsafe. And so what's happening, what I'm seeing is certain union officers will come in and say things. They'll drop seeds about, well, you know, we're trying to keep everyone employed. You know, we're not going to talk about slowing anything or stopping anything. I mean, let alone you inhale all these stinking droplets or whatever. But that hazard pay, I mean, people are like, okay, fine, I got to work. Can I get more pay if I'm going to have to work? You know, can I have, can I be paid if I'm sick for the whole time? What if I'm past 2 weeks? That's what I'm seeing. How about you, Eric and Renato?
Are we free to both to talk, or do you have to pick one of us?
Yeah, Renato, go ahead. Whoever was first. So since you spoke, what are you hearing and seeing?
I think initially a lot of people just kind of figured it was not a big deal, I suppose. I think as time went by and as the situation grew a little bit more serious, I think we went from a little bit of a complacency towards our union where, well, they don't do anything for us anyway, so what do we expect from them, to, okay, now we can very rightfully die from this. And not only us, but in fact, you know, our families and communities. And the frustration I feel is definitely mounting amongst the workers. I know people are getting frustrated, and I mean, I think there's a lot of things that our union can definitely do to make this just even an easier time for us in terms of both going to work and having to stay home. So I think generally a lot of the people at work are frustrated, and it's not good for the person individually, but I think it's good that to help them realize that we should expect more from our union in terms of representation and protection and all of that. So the frustration is definitely mounting. And, I mean, you can see it on Facebook, too. There's a lot of people just being upset over the quality of the protective equipment that we are getting, because it's not proper protective equipment. We're getting regular protective equipment. So the cloth masks that were distributed were obviously kind of a disappointment to our workers, and some people are still bringing their own because they don't think those are good enough. So, yeah, I think the frustration's definitely increasing every day that nothing really significant happens.
Hey, can I ask another question?
Oh, of course. And thanks so much for participating. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I wondered, are people starting to maybe think that they got to do something, that the union officials, they're not going to do it? Are people feeling like that, or do they just keep on thinking, well, if we elect somebody else, it'll get better?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because we had this about a week or two ago, about 2 weeks ago now. Boy, time is just, I don't know what's happening, but we had a group of coworkers that you actually coined this, actually. I think you were the first one that coined it, called the Midway Four.
Yeah.
And in the description of the show, I put a link in there about them. And these four rail car servicers, these are the people that clean our train. We're told to clean a train where one of our coworkers had the COVID-19. They were concerned for their safety, saying they were not properly trained in a particular issue because it's a hot seat passenger. Okay, it's like it just sits on the floors. and it blows up in the air. And manager said, go ahead and just clean it. Don't worry about it. Just get the job done. They should look. We feel unsafe. The rules regarding safety are very strict. He said, do the job or go home. So they said, well, we want to be safe. They had to go home. And then the next day they came back with the union president Franklin and some others and the managers. They had a discussion about why our services were right and why the managers were wrong, and the charges were thrown out. Unfortunately, because a lot of people are still scared, and some of our elected officers are downplaying this incident. I mean, downplaying it, almost calling these mm-hmm. car servicers rule violators.
Calling them what?
You know.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't say it like that, but I have a post from a particular officer that was basically like, no, it wasn't a walkout. They refused to do work. It's like, look, no, you work for us. You don't say we refuse anything. You say we care about our safety. that was astonishing. We got another caller. And they disappeared. Oh, shoot, we lost them. Okay, Eric, did you have anything about, you know, worker action, like Kathy was saying, or workers are taking initiative, or what workers are saying?
Well, I can say that we've been trying to connect with other transit workers around North America, and we've had several public discussions in connection with other sections of the working class, such as nurses and Amazon workers. We had a Zoom call, which was made public on Facebook a few days ago. I thought was pretty good, pretty high level. And that was just one of the main things that were discussed at the very end was taking action on May Day. And I hope actually this call discusses that too, is that there's other sections of the working class that traditionally take action on International Workers' Day, but very few people in Chicago know about that, unfortunately. But it's an international day of the working class to take action, not to work, to put down our tools, to make it clear of our collective power. So that it makes a lot of sense to discuss having an action among transit workers to join with other workers around the world and other industries in our city, in the United States, to say things like, hey, you know, if it's not safe for us to work, we shouldn't be working. We should get at very least the proper PPE, proper protective equipment, and we should get the proper pay and other immediate necessities, for instance, testing. All testing should be done, really, in my opinion, at the work site. I think part of what's going on is the employers are trying to avoid paying, like we talked earlier on this call, paying for leave. They're trying to avoid potential injury on duty claims. And they're also trying to avoid having to deal with the death and sicknesses of working class communities. And so if they can say, like they've done for many years with injured on duty claims, well, you had a pre-existing condition, or you didn't get it here, even though it may have contributed, we're not going to pay anything to you and your family. So that appears to be what's going on, and part of the reason why the transit agencies are refusing to do testing on property. Now, testing on property would really help the situation. It would make it so everyone could easily get it and just could go home. It could easily get the testing and could just go home paid immediately instead of us. Part of the problem with this disease is you don't know you have it. You don't even have symptoms sometimes, or the symptoms are very minor. So that's really a criminal act by the transit agencies and the government by trying to hide from the disease, cover it up. And that's a demand I think we can put together through different sections of the working class as early as May Day or earlier. So I'd like to just bring that up for discussion.
Okay. But, Eric, are people saying that they want to do something, or are people kind of just going to work because they need to work, they're afraid to stand up, they don't really want to take leadership from some of the ideas you put forward, which are good ideas. But what are people saying? Are they saying that they want to fight back, or are they kind of just like saying, shit, we got to we're stuck in this bad situation. Oh, well, where's my mask? I mean, what are they saying?
Well, just one thing, if I could say, response to that, Eric.
Real quick, hold that real quick. I just wanted to say, yes, they're definitely, especially our part-timers, especially the customer assistants, they're definitely, there's that attitude of, oh, my God, I've got to work. I've really got to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get sick. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just in my experience from talking to lots of people and watching discussions online and through these calls, I have seen a pretty thorough agreement on shutting down the system for anywhere between a day or 2 weeks to thoroughly clean it, to make sure people are getting the proper equipment and testing and then come back. That's, people have complicated that by saying, well, how do people get to the hospitals, et cetera. But that's a discussion I think should be happening formally in our unions immediately. We should be having rolling mass meetings every day where rank-and-file workers can speak up and put forward their perspectives. And to answer your question, I think most people, if we had that democratic process, most workers would say shut it down and then have the employer come to us for our demands, and then we come back on our terms, on the workers' terms, on the terms that are necessary for safety and for the working-class populations that are being disproportionately harmed by this disease.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody else want to chime in about that?
So
I think that's right. I think a lot of people do want to, are ready to do something. It's just a matter of making it happen and having that organization or having the organization done and everybody agreeing to one thing. I mean, obviously getting everybody to agree would be very difficult, but if we can get a majority, I think that would play a big part. But again, it's just a matter of finding everybody agreeing and then having someone with the right voice, I guess. Even if one of our officials, as much as we disagree with them, would be like, you know what, we're going to talk about maybe having a one-day work stoppage. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But again, it would it would have to come from one of the elected officials. I guess that makes it
official. Impossible. They ain't going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And the wildcat, where our show is going to end as far as on the air, but we're going to stay. We can keep recording for as long as we want. So y'all don't hang up if you don't want to. I'm just going to make this announcement real quick. Got a few seconds left. This is not an official union production and is only an attempt and Injustice Caucus within Local 308 to strengthen our labor unions. So links with knowledge, and you may need to search for new ones and always consult the official union office. The official union officer answers to your questions. Okay. So back to the topic. Damn, I had to get that disclaimer in there, and then I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I wanted to share this with everyone regarding the Wildcat. So the Wildcat, according to the rule of the CTA, is forbidden. However, we also had the Labor Management Right Disclosure Act, and that also does not support us as union members calling for it. So the Labor Management Right Disclosure Act does allow us to organize and does allow us to criticize our union leadership, but that wildcat is tricky. In Illinois, for us to strike legally, we've got to have our representation by the presidents of our union. That's the exclusive bargaining representative. From what I'm looking at the law, Section 17. So I think the biggest obstacle to us taking any action, period, even if it's just a picket or holding up signs in silence, is our presidents.
Right. That's why you can't expect Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, there's no expectation, definitely, on my part, speaking for myself. But I have decided after I got sick like this, you know, and when we tried to push motions in our union meetings in March to make demands and to organize mass emergency meetings to get the members to vote on action, and they denied our vote. Our presidents of 241 and 308 would not let us bring these to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
when I got sick, I told myself, I am going to spend the rest of my time as a union member making sure that the members take over their unions. Because if we
right.
if we all upheld on these presidents, if we make their lives very exciting, okay? If we make their lives very exciting with our demands to have mass meetings, by the rules of our bylaws, we can make them lead us in action all the way up to 17.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey,
can I interject?
What please, you're
can
please
I
tell us.
Okay,
yes.
I think this. Two things. First, the two strikes that did happen in our lifetimes, in the one in 68 and the one in 79, or maybe it was 69 and 78, but those were wildcat strikes. The ATU is not going to authorize a strike. It's just not going to happen. But I think that this radio show is a good idea. I'm wondering this, Eric, if both of you, Erics, ask people that you know who, you know, are some kind of are fighters or who like to talk or who like to post, ask them if they would come on the radio show, and they wouldn't have to identify themselves. But because I don't think that the union is going to allow any mass meetings through Zoom, or they're just not going to do it. They don't want people to come to the meeting. So they definitely don't want them now. I don't believe they're going to do it. But this radio thing, it could become something bigger, especially if you ask people to, you know, say, okay, you got 10 minutes to, you know, say what you want to say, and give them a list of topics or whatever they want to talk about. I don't know. You might get some people, some of those, because there's a lot of people who are big talkers, and they might want to come on and do that.
I agree. It's a great idea, and we definitely invite that because, man, if we don't let the members talk, this is just another damn dictatorship, and that's all it's been. Go ahead, Eric,
right.
If you're still there. Let's see.
Maybe he had
Eric
to go.
I still see him connected, so maybe he's dealing with.
Hey, I'm sorry. Oh. I was just taking care of my children right now. I apologize. I mean
okay.
to get off the call relatively shortly.
Do you think you could ask some bus drivers to be on the radio show, Eric? Eric?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Is
this a question to me or Eric Basir?
Eric the Daddy. Do you think you could ask some bus drivers who might have some interesting stuff to say to be on this radio show?
Certainly. Eric, the other Eric's also a daddy, but a good father
right.
as well. And
sorry.
And yeah, well, this is the first time I've been able to come on the call, and I agree with you that this is a good thing, and the more discussion and debate and planning for actions is better. We need to find some sort of centralized location. Certainly the union, that's what it's supposed to do, and it is not doing it. And that's a real crisis, a deep crisis of the union movement that's not new. It's this form of business unionism. It's not just the current officials. It's not just our local unions. It's a very deep problem in the union movement that they're tied deeply to the bosses. They're hand in glove. They're tied deeply to the Democratic politicians. And the state, which is our opponent in our contract fights, and they're the ones who are also – frankly killing us at this point with their policies. So we can't, we have to pull our enemies out of our union, and certainly within the leadership of our union. And that's a real big battle. So in the middle of that, during this crisis, there's no better time than now to organize and take action. So I very much agree. Let's try to get as many rank-and-file workers on these calls and try to get a center of a pole of attraction to then start to be taking action. So I apologize, everyone. I got to get off the call and help my family. Thank you for organizing this, everybody, Eric and everybody else.
Hey, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Eric. And you know, before I was sick, actually, before the pandemic, we already had actions planned up, right? So we were ready to informational pickets and, you know, getting coworkers out. You know, like I was saying to you in your Facebook post, that as soon as I get better, let's go out and do some signs again, you know, whatever.
Right.
We just have to do it, right? Because we're going to help our coworkers be more brave. Every action I do, it's like lifting weights. I get stronger. It becomes easier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, Renato, what do you think of all this?
I mean, I think it's great. I think the more we're able to get information out, I think it's going to generate help. And the more we speak up, or anybody speaks up, I think it's going to encourage others to speak up. So I think anything we can do to get the word out and just to generally inform people is going to help us in any way, shape, or form. I think hopefully this gets the ball rolling and we get more people to call next time and we get more stories in that way. I mean, the more this spreads, the more people hear, the more that people hear, the more they're aware, and the more they're aware, then hopefully the more they support us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, so yeah. I'm going to hang up in a minute, but if you ask people, excuse me, or either one of you or both of you, and the other Eric too, wonder if you should ask them privately first so they don't feel scared at all. It would be totally anonymous and all of that. I don't know.
Yes. Yes. It's always, it was like, remember when we were at Howard and at the terminal and we were just talking with our
co-. Yeah.
I mean, half of those people we talked to, they wouldn't respond to some weird, you know, message on their phone. They're human beings. They respond to human beings, you know, and they responded to our petition, even though our union basically ripped up the petition and threw it on the garbage in the floor. But
yeah,
but we organized, right? I mean, we had everybody, I think, in the whole room on our side, you know, for justice, you know.
Mhm. Well, yes, that was a good afternoon. Well, you guys are doing a good job, and you're tireless, and it's great and inspiring. So I'm going to go because I am not tireless. But I'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us and inspiring us, Kathy. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Eric. And Ronaldo, see ya.
I see you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So, let's see. It looks like, is there anybody else? Okay, we got, good. It's just us now, but I had a couple things I wanted to share. Are you still up for some time?
I got a couple minutes.
So, hey, Eric, I'm still on the call, but I'm on speakerphone with my family. My father, Les Slater, is also in the car. Is that
good.
Okay?
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have him. If he wants to join in too, he can speak too. It'd be great. I just wanted to go over something real quick with everybody. So before I got on this call, you should probably mute, Eric. You're coming through on the call.
I got you.
Okay. Before the show started, I was listening to a webinar of transit suppliers, transit industry suppliers. This is like ProTerra, some other companies that make buses and batteries and trains and all kinds of parts. And I just wanted to share some observations I made. I noticed that they called us heroes, you know. And again, they keep calling us heroes like we're sacrificing our lives. We're not coming to work to sacrifice our lives. I wish they would stop doing that. We're coming to work to render a service and to get paid for that service and to be safe and to protect the people that we're responsible for. So we're not heroes. We're just human beings. And they also noted that the manufacturers and suppliers are backed up because of the government resources. Some of the governments are coming through with money, some aren't. Interestingly, Proterra said their safety of their employees is priority. So they do a lot of manufacturing, not so much service. They're not a privatizing of the operations type of service, but they're in the manufacturing part. And they said they've been doing deep cleaning. They've cut their crews into two shifts to make sure they're not exposing each other. And they purchased eyewear PPE that doesn't fog. They do temperature checks. They ordered PPE from early March, right when the pandemic started. They were ordering it. They also bring in food for their workers so they don't have to leave the building to go travel and spread it around or get infected. They also noted that there's unprecedented funding with the CARES Act, and they said it wasn't enough. And interestingly, our unions, our leadership are not pushing for that. CARES Act is going to take care of the agencies and the manufacturers, but not necessarily the workers in our jobs. So as unions, we really got to be on top of saying, hey, we need a cut. We need a cut, and we're going to make noise until we can see it in writing. And interestingly also, as manufacturers of buses and trains, they're looking at the social distancing as an innovative force for better protection. So they're talking about, you know, more buses, maybe more wider buses or long more trains. And if we think about that as unions and we approach that as unions, we can actually fight for more jobs to have 2- and 3-person crews on our buses and trains, you know. And they also noted that they need the agencies to do more preventative maintenance to keep the vehicles in shape. And again, see, that's up to us as unions to push for that. You know, we got to push for these things. I wanted to share that. Renato, anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah.
Or speak up?
You're right on with all the things certain companies are doing. Even I did some grocery shopping the other day, and even just, well, I went to two places. First, I went to Costco, and even Costco has a one specific person that cleans the self-checkout registers after every individual uses it. And I was like, okay, I mean, they're trying to do something. Now, all the workers had masks on and all that, so I was like, okay, they're already, you know, even just the cleaning is a big issue in terms of public transit, and, you know, they claim to be doing rigorous cleaning, but I think if you ask anybody to stand at any terminal or anything like that, you're going to see that's not very true. And the second store I went to was Aldi, and actually Aldi is only allowing one person per family to go in. And these are all very simple steps that I think CTA